The first reading is from Ezekiel, the second chapter. A voice said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The second reading is the 23rd Psalm, a song of ascents. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than its fill of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. Word of God, word of life, thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Gospel according to Mark, the 6th chapter. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deeds of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. All right, I've been on vacation, so let's see if I remember how to do this. In today's gospel, Jesus went to his hometown, and people were in awe and amazed at everything he'd been doing. But they also took offense at him, because what he'd been doing is not what they thought he was or what they expected him to do. Jesus was the kid next door, the guy they went to high school with, right? Or the little whippersnapper they've known since he was yay high. His community had placed Jesus in this nice little box of who they thought he was, and Jesus is busting out. He not only is doing these miraculous healings and works of power, but earlier, if you remember when his family came to get him because they thought he was acting crazy, Jesus redefined family. Jesus is busting out of all the boxes. Jesus is out of bounds in every possible way. And so they took offense at him. And scripture tells us that this reaction is hurtful. His hometown's reaction of not accepting him and of being offended by him, it takes a toll on Jesus. He isn't able to do what he was doing in other places. He's limited to only laying his hands and healing a few people. I appreciated your laughter at that, Ashley. He only healed a few people. So the point is, it takes a toll, but it does not stop God from continuing to do God's work. I wanted to highlight this piece about how Jesus offends people with his out-of-boundness because it reminds us that God's out-of-boundness is offensive. God does not play by our rules. God is not limited by our preconceived ideas or by our efforts to keep people in their lanes or in their boxes. God is not limited by our imagination or by our limited ability to love. God simply will not be limited by us. Jesus shows us that God does not stop just because we don't get it. God does not stop transforming the world or building up the reign of God just because we are offended or don't like it. In the second half of our gospel reading, just after he's offended everyone, Jesus sends the disciples out to do the same, to continue to do the same work, to continue to be offensive, to continue to be boundless and shocking. Jesus sends the disciples out to continue doing what he has been doing, caring for people, helping those who are hurting, inviting people to a new way of life in God, sharing God's love with such generosity that it challenges barriers and makes people uncomfortable. Because this is what it is to be part of God's kingdom, to be part of the reign of God. In the words of Luther Seminary professor Matt Skinner, the best way to experience the reign of God, because it's never where we expect, is to stay close to Jesus and follow where he goes. Because when we follow Jesus, when we go out and continue to do what he did, when we care for others, include those who are excluded, feed the hungry, comfort those who are hurting, when we share the good news of God's love for all people, yes, it might offend some people. But when we follow Jesus and do what Jesus did, we find ourselves in the very midst of God's transforming work, in the very midst of God's kingdom, God's reign. We get to be part of it. We get to experience it right here, right now. And like the first disciples, we aren't sent to do this work alone, but always in partnership, always in community, and always relying not on what we have, not on our own strength or ability or resources, but trusting in God's abundance, in God's ability to provide what we need. That's why Jesus sends them out in pairs, and that's why he told them not to bring any backup supplies, right? He's not teaching us to be foolish, to not plan ahead or bring the tools we need, but it's highlighting the fact that we are to lean on each other and we are to trust in God's abundance. And when he sends them out, he tells them that they are to go out expecting to be welcomed. They're going to be dependent on it. They're to trust that God will provide that as well. God will provide the welcome. God will provide the fertile soil for the seeds to grow. God will provide the opportunity for the word to be heard. God will provide all of that. But they're also told to expect to be rejected at times. That's also part of the gig, which is such a good reminder for us, because we don't like that. We don't want to be rejected. We don't want to fail or fall short. We don't want to offend people. But this gospel reminds us that the call to follow Jesus is a call to expect rejection. We're called to follow even when it's offensive and even when those efforts are rejected, which means that we cannot let our fear of failure or our fear of rejection stop us from following. It's part of the call. Just as much as we need to trust in God's abundance to provide welcome, we also need to trust that God's work can handle rejection. God will be there with us even in that. Jesus tells the disciples to expect rejection and gives them instructions for how to handle it. They are to accept and embrace the hospitality when they receive it, and they are to shake the dust off their sandals when they experience inhospitality. So on the one hand, we should go out boldly, knowing that there will be rejection, and that's okay, not to be stopped by our fear, to trust in God to be present even when we meet opposition to God's love, even when we meet resistance to our efforts to follow Jesus. And on the other hand, we are also called to denounce inhospitality, to shake the dust of it off our sandals. If you have been rejected as a marginalized person, this can be a helpful reminder not to take that rejection on as part of your identity, to discard it as so much dust and move forward to a new community that will embrace and love you for who you are. But this can be especially instructive for us as a community with privilege, as a primarily white Christian church in a country where whiteness and Christianity are privileged, to remember this call to denounce inhospitality even when we encounter it within ourselves and within our community. That one might be a little harder, because as a community, we pride ourselves on being welcoming, right? So this can be hard to hear. It can be challenging, because we want so badly to be hospitable, to be welcoming to all people. It might be difficult to recognize the places where we fall short, to recognize the places where white privilege is in our midst, where heterosexual privilege is in our midst. Places where the way things have always been might be a barrier or an obstacle to new people or new voices. In order to denounce inhospitality within ourselves and shake the dust of it off our sandals, we have to be humble. We have to listen to the voices of those who have been rejected in the past, the voices of those who've been pushed to the margins. We need to open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to learn more about what it means to be truly welcoming. And when we find those hidden places where privilege or prejudice are causing us to stumble or fall short in our goal of welcoming all people, or to fall short in sharing God's love, we need to be willing to change. We need to be willing to acknowledge the inhospitable places within our hearts or within our community and shake them off. I feel like I should sing Taylor Swift. I've said this so many times, sorry. We need to be willing to change, to shake off old habits, old practices, or old beliefs that are not serving the reign of God, that are not welcoming, that are inhospitable or exclusionary. Today's gospel is full of good news. Yes, it's challenging. It is hard work to follow Jesus, and it can be scary because we have to face our fear of rejection, this reality that the world might not always be open to what God is doing. We know this. Every time God breaks into our world, the world pushes back. Even as the reality of human diversity is more widely accepted, people take offense. And this has been true in every generation, with different marginalized groups being villainized and scapegoated. Each generation has had to fight forward and has faced backlash. But this rejection, I know it takes a toll, just as it took a toll on Jesus. But the good news is that even when it is hard, even when it is painful, the work of God is not stopped. The good news is that God does not stop being God just because people are offended. God does not stop God's life-giving, healing work just because that work is rejected. The good news is that even in the midst of all of that, God continues to heal a world that is hurting. God continues to love us in all of our brokenness and continues to call us into God's loving embrace, inviting us to come and be part of this new world, this better world. The good news is that we are invited to be part of all that God is up to. We are invited and we are sent out in partnership and in community by a God who provides abundantly for us, who enables us to follow Jesus and to live into this new world that God is making. Thanks be to God. Amen.